I mentioned earlier that we have a guest this evening who is going to minister the Word of God. His name is LaSalle Vaughn, senior pastor of New Life Christian Center in San Antonio, Texas. Was a former United States Air Force officer, and then later in life went into full-time ministry. Has a great congregation in San Antonio, several thousand members, and this is a congregation that stands with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. They are not fair-weather friends, they are faithful friends. And I'm just delighted to be able to welcome LaSalle Vaughn to the pulpit. Let's receive him and let's receive the Word of God this evening. Amen.
Somebody give God some kind of scream offering in here. Come on, you can do better than that over there, can't you? All right. Praise God. You may be seated. I really feel like I'm home. We come to Israel often. And I tell you, you know, I've heard that some people in different parts of the world, when they pray, they feel like, you know, when they talk to God, it's a long-distance call, right? But when we come to Jerusalem, it's a local phone call. And while we're here, we're going to make a lot of local phone calls. I assure you of that. Before I get started tonight, I want to just introduce my whole congregation, well, those that came with us on this trip. Would you all stand just for a moment, everybody that came on this trip with us? Amen. Now, there's some that came to Israel for the very first time this time. Would you just lift your hands, those of you that are here for the very first time? Okay. All right. You may be seated. I think my wife and I have been to Israel maybe 20-some-odd times. And, you know, we were probably one of the last groups during the Intifada, the height of the Intifada, that had the largest tour group here. And I want you to know we love Israel. We love Israel. We love the God of Israel. Five-stranded cord. We love it. Amen. Let me introduce you to my wife. She is the wife for the rest of my life. I love her with my liver, my quiver, everything else. Stand up, sweetheart. She's also my co-pastor. This month, we will be married 37 years. I'd also like my children to stand. Where are my children? I have two daughters, Erica and Alicia. I don't know. There's Alicia up here. And their husbands. Where are their husbands? An elder here, Tony. And I don't know where Adam's at. Adam's up here on the camera. And my wife's sister's also here. Helen, won't you stand? Okay. I mean, we travel all over the world, and my wife's sister, she's always with us everywhere we go. I also want you to see my grandchildren tonight. That's what I really set you up for, you know. I have three grandchildren. Solomon, Slow-Mo. Where's Solomon? There's Solomon. When Solomon was born, we were here, and my daughter Erica was pregnant with Solomon back in the States, and we got a call saying that she was getting ready to deliver. And we made a promise to her that we would be there. And so we had to fly out. I told her on the phone, girl, hold that baby until we get back, you know. And she held that baby, 7 years old. And then Zachary, wave at the people. Zachary. And Zoe. Now, let me tell you a little secret. You know, they call me Saba. They call me Saba. And they call my wife what I call my wife. They call her honey. But I don't know if all three of them would want to come up. Bring them up just for a moment. And I'm going to get started. I'm not going to preach long. I won't preach long. But I do have a word from the Lord for me this morning, tonight in my spirit, and I want to deliver it. But I want to show you something real quick. I hope they'll do it. You know how you do it. You know, you get them up in front of people, they won't say anything. Okay. Would you all do the Shema for the people? Would you do the Shema? Go ahead and say it.
Shema Israel Adonai Elohim. Adonai Eka.
You want to do it by yourself, Zoe? Go ahead and do it for the people.
Shema. Israel, Adonai, Elohimu, Adonai, Echa.
That's good enough. All right. Someone's going to buy you something for that, okay? Bye. Praise God. Weren't they great? They love their Saba. You know they love their Saba. You know Psalms 48 and 2 talks about this wonderful city, this beautiful city of Jerusalem, being on the sides of the north. And I don't know, I love Jerusalem, and I study a lot about Jerusalem. And you know, Jerusalem's natural defense is really not on all sides, really. On the, I believe it's the east side, we have the Mount of Olives. On the west side, it's the west side, the Terrapin Valley, I believe it is. And then on the south side, it's the United Kidron Valley. But on the north side, there's nothing there. But we're wrong. God is there. God is on the north side protecting Jerusalem. And this city is well protected. Israel is well protected. And I love the God of Israel. I have a word from God for you tonight. I'm not going to talk from the Torah. I'm not going to talk from the Tanakh. We're going to go to the Brit Hadashah. Is that okay? Would you do something with me? Would you all please stand and let's open our Bibles and go to the book of Mark. I want to just thank Pastor Wayne and Ann Hilson for having us. So much appreciate them allowing me to have this time. And I can't wait to get them down to Texas and get you some cowboy boots. You see, get you some with the Star of David on them like that. You know, see that? These some bad boots, man, I'm telling you. All right. Look at, let's go to Mark. The first chapter, I want to do a little reading. This was when Yeshua was preaching in Galilee, healing the crowds. Let's start at verse 29. Bear with me for a moment. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. And immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand. And the fever left her, and she waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city had gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. Do you know who he is? In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out demons. Now listen carefully. And a leper came to Jesus. I think that, what's that word in Hebrew? Zarat? Something like that. Very close. Beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Move with compassion. Yeshua, Jesus stretched out his hands and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Father, we thank you for your word. Minister life to us now. In the name of Yeshua, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I really want to concentrate on these last couple of verses here. Beginning at verse 40. And a leper came to Yeshua, beseeching him, and falling on his knees before him. I want you to look at those words real closely. Falling on his knees before him and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And so Yeshua, being moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. You know, falling on his knees, really, it's a form of worship to be on your knees. And when Jesus saw him falling on his knees, this leper, he was moved by compassion. And it was only then that he healed him. Now, I want to tell you something, church. This is worship. This is worship. Amen? And I'm convinced that worship is a very important part of who we are and who we should be. Many years ago, about 15 years ago, I lost my eyesight for about 30 days. And it's an awful thing to lose your eyesight because, I've spent 20 years in the military, very, macho man, and I found myself crying one night, and my wife heard me cry, and my children really never saw me cry other than in worship because I was afraid. I was afraid. I was in darkness. I remember eating some fish. I love fish. And and I was worshiping while I was crying, and God began to wash back in my eyesight as I was crying. And I learned a valuable lesson there that worship can bring healing. And I want to talk for just a few moments tonight, worship that heals. Worship that heals. Because this leper dropped that on his knees before Yeshua. And because of what he did, Yeshua stretched out his hand and healed him. In Psalms 95 and 6, it says, come let us worship and bow down. You know that scripture? Come let us worship and bow down. Let us do what? Kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For we're the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. You know, worship can heal. Worship can heal. Healing is an expression of God's love. Look at the person next to you and tell them, healing is an expression of God's love. And worship, what worship is an act that is freely, an act of love that's freely given to God. In other words, you freely give love to God when you worship. Our primary task in this life is to worship God. That's our primary task. You know, deep inside of all of us, everyone here, deep inside, there's an urge to worship, a burning desire to worship. And everyone that's here, even those that may not even know Yeshua, there's a deep, and God put it there. God is the one who put that urge, that burning desire to worship. And that burning desire that we have to worship is to be worshiped, is to be given to God and to him alone. And if we don't give him that worship, we will begin to worship ourselves. I don't know why God would have me talk about worship tonight. I would love to have a sermon that would make you all jump and just shout. But God wanted me to talk about this, and I am an obedient servant. Worship is the place where you can be transformed if you do it right. You can be transformed. That doesn't mean you will, because some people go through the mechanics of worship, but they really don't connect with God. Now, this leper in this story right here, what happens is three things happen. He showed respect when he fell on his knees. He also showed that he was in awe of who Yeshua was. And he also submitted himself because he fell in front of Yeshua and cried out to be healed. And because he did what he did, Yeshua showed compassion on him. Some version says pity, and healed him. Let me tell you, there's a place we can get with God sometimes when we're just real with him and we're naked before God, and God will move in our lives in tremendous ways. Am I talking to anybody in here tonight? God wants to visit with us, all of us. He wants to, if we would only worship him. There are some places in our lives that if God, he wants you to allow him to touch these places in our lives where we've been hurt and bruised and somehow haven't healed. He wants you to get to a place where you can worship him and he can heal you in those places and give you a shalom that you have never experienced in your entire life. There's a place in God in worship where we can go, where we get to a place where, you know, it's like, God, my life is in you, and if you don't heal me, I'm not going to get healed. If you don't deliver me, and that's that place where you go with worship that heals. Let your worship bless God. Let your worship, how many going to let your worship bless God? Let your worship bless God. We just got back from Egypt. We were in Egypt, and we did one of the most horrific things. I said horrific, horror. We climbed Mount Sinai about 3 o'clock in the morning. Has anyone else in here ever climbed Mount Sinai? God bless you. God bless you. You got to see the hand. God bless you. God bless you. You know, there were so many things that happened in us and through us from that climb. There were many that fell behind to help others. On their way to the top, they reached back and helped somebody else. Come on. And there was a strong message there. But there was so many different messages, but one of the messages that God wants me to share with you tonight that I believe would bless you, and for those of you who have climbed Mount Sinai, is that the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. It was weak. I had no idea how tall Mount Sinai was and how rugged that climb was going to be. One thing I'm glad that happened was we went it early in the morning when it was dark. And you couldn't see. I told our people the reason why God allowed us to go at night or early in the morning so we couldn't see, so we could learn and really feel and touch that we walk by faith and not by sight. Because if I had seen how tall Mount Sinai was, I would have turned around a long time ago. But let me tell you what happened, though. Let me tell you something else that God showed me about that in relation to worship. Is that our guide, Achman, said, we got to get up there before the sun comes up, because if you don't get up there at the sunrise, you're going to miss the, you know. And people were, they were going, Pastor, you know. And we had this one here that kept saying, We're almost there. Somebody hollered out, stone him, stone him. You know, and it was really. And everyone was encouraging one another. And it must have been about 100 camels on Mount Sinai. And everybody, Pastor, I'm going to catch a camel. You know, I'm going on up, you know. But I noticed that we had a goal. The goal was to get to on top of Mount Sinai to see the sunrise. And God took me back, you know, to Moses, Moshe. When he went up Mount Sinai, he went up there to meet with God. Worship is no more than a meeting with God. Come on, somebody. And I believe that God wants us to enter into a type of worship that heals, where we can actually meet with God. We get to a place where we say, you know, Lord, my life is in you. It's in you that I live and move and have my being. You know, one of the things that I'm really, really glad about is God saved me because, you know, if we really got into real worship in this church right now, we'd get so far in that we couldn't get back even if we really wanted to. See, I believe that's where God's, the kind of worship God's getting ready to take the church to. Where you begin to worship and thinks, in other words, worship is really an intoxicating experience when you just let go and let God. Matter of fact, Rabbi Paul said, he said in Ephesians 5:18, do not become drunk with wine. Didn't he say that? He said, but be filled with the Spirit. Reason being, in one version, I think in the Hebrew Bible says, because you don't want to be drunk with wine because you'll lose control. I don't know. Has anybody ever been drunk for real before you got saved? You used to drink that joy juice. God bless you. I see the hand. God bless you, sister. Come on, be honest. You're in the house of God. All the way up to the top. God bless you. All of you all have not known Yeshua all of your life, and you've done some things, right? How many have ever got drunk off of drinking where you've lost control? Be honest. See? In my hometown, they had this moonshine liquor where I grew up at. We called it scrap iron. And when I grew up, we used to have stills in the woods. And the stills used to be so potent that when birds would fly over the stills, they would drop dead inside the... My uncle, who taught me how to drink that moonshine liquor, and people would die from this stuff. He took me out in the woods, and he said, son, look, let me tell you, I want you to learn how to drink moonshine liquor because you're not a man, not unless you know how to drink this stuff. So he reached in, I looked in there, there was dead birds and all this stuff in there. And he dipped up some moonshine liquor. He says, all right, now what you need to do is hold your nose because it smells bad. And drink it. So I drank. I would go up like that, and I came down, and you'd be blind for about 10 seconds, and you shake like. He said, "Now, if you did that, that's good. If you get, you know, if you couldn't see for about 10 seconds, but God says, and the word says in Ephesians 5:18, do not become drunk with wine, and be filled with the Spirit, because you'll lose control, and learn how to speak to your brothers." And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Come on, somebody. And also learn how to give thanks to God all the time for everything and in everything. And be subject to your brother and sister in the fear of Christ. That's what the word says. Amen. But see, I'm going to tell you, if real worship really hit this place, we would be, some of us would be drunk and couldn't really get out of here. But I tell you what would happen, many of us would be healed physically, emotionally, and even financially if we would just let go and let God. When you experience worship that heals, what happens is that worship goes into your pain. And what happens next is that you experience a peace that you've never had before. And you have to be like the leper. The leper had expectancy when he worshiped. You know, those of you who have received Yeshua as the Messiah, your salvation, you have really not enjoyed your salvation to its fullest until you move into a worship, a type of worship that brings healing. In other words, we open our hearts to God in such a way where he comes in to us and gives us an intimacy that we will never be able to find on this planet. Oh, come on. It's called intimacy. Say intimacy. Say it a little louder. Intimacy. Into me. See into me. See into me, and I will allow you to find a place in me that will satisfy you like no other relationship on the planet can satisfy. Let me tell you a little story before I read another passage of scripture to you. I was a very bruised and hurt young man when I was growing up because of the racism in America. And what happened with me was I just dropped out of society and lived on the beach for a while. I had no feelings at all. I didn't believe in God. Matter of fact, I used to curse God every morning. Boy, isn't God something? Here I am preaching about him, not in his love. You know, it was reading in the Brit Hadashah in John 15, where Jesus says, they hated me without a cause. I fell in love with Yeshua. I didn't fall in love with Christianity. I didn't fall in love with religion, because religion is only man's attempt to get to God. But Yeshua is God's attempt to get to man. Come on, somebody. It's all about him. And he wants us to open our hearts. And our occupation needs to be all about his awesomeness and how awesome he is. And just worship him just for his awesomeness. Let's look at one last scripture. And I want to close. And I want you to think about some of the things I said. Go with me to Psalm 73. If you have a Bible, if you don't have one, look on with someone. And this is my last scripture. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far from you will perish. You have destroyed all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. Would you say amen with me? Amen. Worship sets the time for us to focus on God. Would you put your Bibles down just for a moment? And let's set this time just to focus on God. Would you stand all over the house? And let's just worship for a moment. Let's worship. I'm done. I want to worship. I want to worship for a minute. Would you lift your hands and just begin to bless his name? Come on, lead us.
Light of the world, you step
the kind of worship that heals.